Hey gang, welcome to Dateline Louisiana, a provocative look at the deepest of the deep southern states. Thoughts that are informative, candid, humorous, and sometimes controversial about life in one of the most interesting and rabble-rousing states in the nation. Here are your hosts, Ronna Gray and Jim Brown.
Well, hello there. Glad you're listening to our podcast today, wherever you happen to be. Our emphasis is Louisiana, and if you live here, then you can relate to many of the things we talk about. If you don't live here, we try to give you some tidbits as to why it is so interesting down here. We talk about, obviously, the positive things, the great food, the music, but we also talk about some of the problems to bring us into the 21st century, and Ronna's going to join me again in this discussion. Ronna, you ready to talk about environmental issues, climate change? We're going to cover the gamut today, aren't we?
I'm ready to rock and roll.
Start us off, if you will. Louisiana is unique in having a variety of environmental problems with a sea line that we are subject to hurricanes. We're subject to water level changes coming through the marsh and putting at risk some of the cities that are down here where we live. Climate change definitely affects us down here in the deep south, doesn't it?
It's affecting Louisiana and has been for some time, Jim. And you know, I did some work with Valmore Million and the America's Wetland Foundation back when he was asked by the state of Louisiana to really sound the alarm of what was starting to happen with our coastal erosion and sea level rise and the effect that it had. So Val put together a national and international campaign, really going to other deltas around the world and talking about this because of Louisiana's unique positioning in it. So the first thing I'd like to say is, you know, we talk about climate change and global warming. That's not exactly our problem in Louisiana. Actually, over the last 100 years or so, Louisiana didn't get hotter. But what we did get is our soil got drier and all this annual rainfall increased. So now we have the sea level rise affected our coast. And now we have these heavy downpours. We have more intense hurricanes. So what Louisiana is seeing may be different from some other states, but there's just so many ways that climate change is hurting the state of Louisiana, and we have more reason to be worried about it than a lot of states.
Well, you're right, and I think listeners across the nation will wonder what is going on weather-wise where you've got the wildfires taking place, where you have either no rain and then torrents of rain that come down. And my college roommate lives up in around Hindman, Kentucky. And the word, you know, no one's heard of Hindman, Kentucky until the torrential rains came down and wiped out so many people up there. And the word Hindman I've seen in the lead story on newspapers all over the country. And so you're right that there has been problems all over the country, but down here with hurricane threats and with the water rising, and I don't know, are icebergs melting in the North Pole and it's affecting our water levels? We've had some dire projections that some of the coastal cities, Houma, Louisiana, Morgan City, obviously Grand Isle is down the coast, won't be around here in another 30 or 40 years. The water level will come up and just take those cities away. Those folks are going to have to move out. So there are some threats that at one point, oh, that's 100 years away, but it's not that far off, is it?
No, and unfortunately, you know, we've been sounding the alarm on this for decades. And unfortunately, it takes things getting dire to really get people to act, and that's what we're seeing with the intense wildfires, the flooding in Kentucky, the having to retreat from coastal waters and live further inland. We've had to move whole communities already in Louisiana and in Alaska. We've had to abandon communities because they just got washed away by the waters. So unfortunately, it takes something drastic to make people act. But the things we need to be aware of, and one is that Louisiana has about a $50 billion coastal master plan that the state and the federal government are going to be spending a lot of money to save Louisiana. But the other thing we have to recognize is hurricanes are going to be much worse. I mean, when I heard someone mention we may have a Category 6 hurricane, I don't even think that exists, but they thought it's going to start existing because they're going to have to measure it that way.
Well, we know about hurricanes living down here, and I know one of the most difficult times for me, I was on doing a radio show that was out of New Orleans, came to Baton Rouge, and broadcast out of the WJBO studios in Baton Rouge about New Orleans issues, and did that for several weeks at a time as people were recovering, hoping to get electricity back, hoping to keep the flooding out of their home. And that we still haven't fully recovered from that one hurricane. But we people in Lake Charles just this last year or two, west Louisiana, have experienced some very heavy disasters. And so, so it looks like, you know, you get over one, they come on back again, and our focus seems to be water more than anything else, and much more so than we've ever seen in the past.
Right. And people count on Louisiana for probably the best seafood, we'd like to think, in the world. So you talk about saltwater intrusion that comes with this, warmer oceans. It starts to affect species. It starts to affect habitat loss. You talk about Louisiana and our coast, we've got all this great hunters go down there for duck hunting. Well, when the habitat's gone, the ducks are going to go land somewhere else. They're not going to be landing in coastal Louisiana. So we always say whether you're a conservationist, you want to save the wildlife, or you're whether the hunters, they've come together on this issue because those areas are threatened. When you have habitat threatened, then the next you start seeing more animal species on the endangered list because we don't have a way to feed them.
Well, the other thing is that the coastal protection through the marsh was a big help to us in the early years of Louisiana, but and it was an unintended consequence. I'm not here in this program to beat up on the oil companies, but going through the marsh and putting pipelines in and cutting transportation routes caused a lot of deterioration in the marsh that has accentuated the flooding and caused huge environmental problems. And we just didn't learn from it at the time. And, of course, we're paying a heck of a price today as we try to fix what's there. And as you said, it doesn't come cheap, does it?
No, and that and the levying of the Mississippi River. I mean, we couldn't live here if it wasn't levied. If you let the Mississippi just flood and run wild, it'd be flooding us all out, as you saw back in the 20s and all when they had the great floods. So the levying of the Mississippi, and as you mentioned, cutting the canals through the marsh, we've lost our barrier islands, which we called our speed bumps for hurricanes, that slowed them down so they didn't hit New Orleans with the intensity. Or Baton Rouge, we're further inland, and we're getting hit very hard by hurricanes. And with these stronger storms, you've got that storm surge. You hear the Weather Channel guys always talk about the storm surge. Well, that tears up your electrical grid, your roads and bridges flood, and it tears those up, and it just becomes so costly to recover from these.
No doubt about it. You know, I learned a personal lesson back in the 1970s when there was major flooding, and we had communities that were 20 feet underwater in Jonesville, Louisiana, and that surrounding area up there. People boated out, and they lost their homes completely. I had restored an old antebellum home right on the Mississippi River, had the mainline levee protecting me, so I thought there was no problem. Well, all of a sudden, the river started rising and came higher and higher, and I was just petrified. All the work I'd done, that my house was going to be taken away by the flood of the mainline Mississippi River. And it got so high that I asked the local sheriff to help out, and he turned loose a number of prisoners who gathered sandbags and brought them up. This is the mainline river, and raised the levees or fixed holes that came through the levee, and actually raised the levee about a foot and a half, and all along the area that would flood into where I lived. And I sat there all night long on several occasions, and the water came up. It was splashing over the levee, but it came up to about a half a foot before it crested. It crested about a half a foot before coming over and destroying all I had built right. over a number of years. And
we see that all up and down the Mississippi River when we have the spring flooding, cities that are having to do just what you're talking about, raise the height of the levee just a little bit.
And then we see that the levees often then can cause problems because the erosion that comes down, all the sediment that comes down the river needs to get out to rebuild the marshes and
right.
rebuild the land. So we're choking off. So to protect people, and I think we had to do it, we built these high levees, but they are actually, in some instances, creating more problems because we don't have the land being nourished and brought back up again by all the sediment that came in. That's how New Orleans came in the first place. You know, the sediment came down and built up a landfill in New Orleans and all that area in deep South Louisiana, and you don't have that being built up anymore, so then we had to build more levees. And if you've never been to New Orleans, some of you listeners outside of Louisiana, it's something. You're down in the French Quarter, and you look up 5 and 6 feet, 10 feet in the air, and see a cargo ship going by you, much higher than you are because of the levees. So and it keeps that area dry. But then we had the terrible thing with Katrina. After Hurricane Katrina, people thought the storm was over. It was Hurricane 1 and didn't do that much damage. And all of a sudden, holes in the levee started breaking. And you had all these openings in the levee that flooded New Orleans and caused devastation. You know,
and the city's
3,000
basically a bowl. The city was basically a bowl, like you're saying. And that water was caught in there from that high sea level and trapped.
Several thousand people died because they just couldn't handle the flood. They were in their house and couldn't get rescued. And terrible stories of people going up in their attic thinking they'd be safe and the water rising up and catching them. So anyway, it's a tough problem. There is huge may not be the word, but significant. Is that a better word? Significant. You like that word better? Chris, I'm on the right track with significant versus huge.
We don't know what you're going to say.
Massive.
Massive.
Any event, we've got, we've seen the water is our enemy. And, of course, the hurricane winds come through. But there's been significant studies going on at our major universities and by groups in government. But again, Ronna, you started off by saying it's going to cost billions and billions of dollars to put up the defenses we need to protect a lot of our communities down here. And if we don't, then we're going to see, you know, 25%, a third of the state be inundated with water levels
right.
that come in. And it's going to be a huge, huge problem. And it's something you can't solve overnight. There's no quick fix.
Right. And another thing, another threat to Louisiana with climate change, and I want to come back to what you just said about water's our enemy. That is, if you live here in Louisiana, if you live out west where they're rationing water, they would think we're crazy to say that. But another health threat, really, we're seeing diseases that you would see like in more tropical settings because of an increase in all this water that we're managing and the heat and the humidity that we have are and the insects then, diseases that are carried by mosquitoes are more prevalent here, or ticks, or diseases that are carried by insects because we're basically living in a tropical environment. So your population, your younger people and your older people, your health compromised people are more at risk in a climate like that with this type of climate change. And then we have to take very seriously mental health issues. You know, when you lose your home, your history, your photos, your mementos, your job, maybe everything, I mean, you could have post-traumatic stress disorders, and you could have an increase in suicides, which we've heard of. We've heard of that after flooding and all, when people feel there's no hope and things are lost, or they're displaced and away from their community. Those are very real. So climate change really brings a lot of problems with it. What about your government, Jim? After Katrina, we here in Baton Rouge stood up 5 local governments at our Emergency Operations Center and our city hall. That mainly meant we would bring them in, their city council, and let them sit in our council chambers and convene and conduct the business of the local community, because there was nothing happening in the local community. No electricity, no telecommunications, nothing. So just the disruption of local services for people, that's a dramatic change, and it's becoming more prevalent with these major megastorms that we could have.
Well, there may be some hope, because, and it's terrible to point out the fact that there are so many problems that 20 years ago you didn't read about: wildfires and the massive rains in the Midwest and the tornadoes that have hit and caused so many problems. All of these environmental disasters that have taken place have gotten more interest. I remember after Katrina, some member of Congress said, well, maybe we just ought to let it flood and just, let those folks need to move at higher ground.
Right.
Well, now all of a sudden it's coming back to bite them in terms of so many national...
Superstorm Sandy got their attention after Katrina when they were saying that, and suddenly you had New York and New Jersey Shore devastated by a superstorm. They saw things a little different. And now climate change, it means flooding for us. It means maybe a Category 6 hurricane, which I can't even imagine. But look what it means out west. Look at the fires. Look at the Colorado River drying up. States are now rationing water, how much you'll get. You're penalized in California if you use too much water. If you're seen watering your lawn, you're like shamed. You've got to go be reported for that. So it's water here, but it's something else somewhere else. And just an acceptance of everyone. People have been so hesitant to accept that these problems were made worse by man-made actions. Everybody wanted to act like this was just something in the Farmer's Almanac that was happening to us, but we've been doing it to ourselves. I think we're finally breaking through some of that resistance to understand that just as we did some things that caused this, we can do some things that make it better. And this big climate bill that Congress has passed, I look forward to hopefully seeing some things get better with gas emissions and managing the climate better.
As far as people's lives, Beck, I know something about the insurance implications because I was the insurance commissioner back in the 1990s. And one thing that I thought we needed was we let each state kind of handle their own business to protect their people. We don't seem to have a national response. And as you pointed out, with the wildfires, with the huge droughts, I think it's time that Congress seriously consider a national disaster program, to where, you go to your insurance agent, you buy your insurance to cover your home, for example, but at a certain level, there is a state level and then a federal level where the flood insurance, you don't have to buy state by state, but a portion of your premium pays into this fund where it doesn't really cost the taxpayers anything, but you put a little aside in advance to cover all these disasters. And Congress needs to consider something like that. Again, I testified before the U.S. Senate back in the 1990s, and it just the Senate actually passed the legislation I'd proposed, but it got killed in the House of Representatives, as these things often do. And so as a consequence, we need to look at people protections. There's the long-range environmental protections, but the here-and-now people protections of their the value, their most prized possession, their home, how you protect that better and don't have a problem with someone seeing their insurance premiums skyrocket, and then when they need to protect their house, they just can't even find affordable insurance. So that's a separate issue, but it's all tied together and something that concerns us all. It used to be a Louisiana problem, a Gulf Coast problem, but now it's a national problem, as you've pointed out, and we definitely need a national response.
We definitely do. We said that about our disappearing wetlands. We said that it was too much for a state to do, and fortunately, Congress agreed with that, and Louisiana has been very fortunate in getting federal funding to shore up our coastline down here. But we are at the point, and I don't think any other state is other than Alaska, where we are already migrating away from high-risk areas. We have moved an entire settlement of Île de Jean Charles of Native Americans. We have made them leave their, well, the water washed away their homes, so they had no choice but to leave. And we have, the state, with federal funding, has built another community and moved them inland away from the coast. Alaska, the same thing, and sadly, and more Native Americans who have generations and generations made their living fishing the coastal waters. But we're already there. I mean, Louisiana is already there where we are retreating from our eroding shoreline. And what you see is we have high poverty rate in the state and not necessarily the best equipped to for everyone to handle this. Buying people out and human migration. I mean, this is something you just didn't think would happen in America. You just didn't think that we would have to retreat from our coastlines. For so many generations, everyone loved living by the water and fishing the waters. And now I used to think I would love to live somewhere on a coastline. I don't want to live anywhere near one now when you see what's happening with it.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. We'll talk some more about this. This is an important problem, but it's one more focus we have in Louisiana about the highs and the lows, the good and not the bad, but the good and the concerning in terms of our quality of life, our way of life, that we want to be there for our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, but we've got to take some action today if we're going to see it work. We talk about a lot of these issues here. Our website is DatelineLouisiana.com. You can go to that website and see a whole series of podcasts that we put up to discuss these various issues affecting our state. And we also have some fun on other, we're not all serious all the time, are we, Rhonda? We try to have some fun when we talk about the good food and the music and other aspects of Louisiana.
Well, it's so important to talk about these problems because we want this wonderful place, this paradise that we think we live in, to exist for many generations to come. And I'm convinced when you look at Venice and you look at the Netherlands and you look at other countries who have learned to manage water, that we're going to be a place that the whole world can look to as a laboratory in how to manage these things. And hopefully engineering and science professions here in the state flourish because of necessity and having to learn how to do it.
Well, I hope that's right. I hope we can be the leader and not coming from behind to take care of our local citizens and also be an example for the rest of the country and other locations throughout the world. You're right, Rhonda, by the way. You know, in the Netherlands and other countries, they've spent a lot of money, but they put together some protections that hopefully will help them and we can learn from it as well.
And because we always like to give our listeners a little assignment before we leave sometimes, just remember, it's your elected officials who steer this funding and who go fight for this funding and make sure it's spent properly. So we do have a great coastal master plan that the state has, through many administrations, devised. We want to support that. We want our congressmen fighting to save Louisiana. So keep that in your conversations with them when you talk to your local elected officials.
No doubt about it, Brett. No doubt about it. Thanks for listening this week. Rhonda Gray and I'm Jim Brown. Our website is DatelineLouisiana.com. Rhonda has her website of her books at RhondaGray.com. and I write columns and fill you with a lot of information, including our podcasts, at jimbrownla.com. Have a good week, folks. We'll see you next week right here on Dateline, Louisiana.
Hey, gang. Welcome to Dateline, Louisiana, a provocative look at the deepest of the deep southern states. Thoughts that are informative, candid, humorous, and sometimes controversial about life in one of the most interesting and rabble-rousing states in the nation. Here are your hosts, Ronna Gray and Jim Brown.